Father, thank you for these moments that you have provided to make a difference in our lives. We pray, Father, that we won't see and hear someone so much as we will see and hear you. Thank you for the impartation of grace through what you have designed, the preaching of the Word of God. May every person who sees and hears open their heart to receive something dynamic and personal in their own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'd like to speak to you today about grace for the pace in this corona race. Now, I didn't try to make that sound poetic. It just kind of came out that way. But grace for the pace in this corona race. It's vital that we learn from every season of life and capture what God is saying. Because when this corona situation is resolved, and however it is resolved, we'll move on to something else. And there'll be some other challenge. And I'm sure you have already been hearing and thinking perhaps that another big challenge will be down the road, whether it's the economy and all those things that are related to that. But it's so important not to waste this season and somehow try to just get by until everything can get back to normal. I'd like to suggest to you that it's going to be a new normal every time there's a new season. You know, it's kind of interesting. On the last day of 2019, as we gathered in the building here for our watch night service, the Lord spoke to me and said that 2020, a very short word, and I delivered that to you if you were here, and it was very short. I said, God says 2020 is going to be new days and new ways. And, of course, we had no idea about the coronavirus and how that would force upon us the opportunity to make new ways of living. And so today I want to talk about this, what I call the corona race, this part of our journey in which we are engaging with the virus and its impact on our lives. And so let's start with some scripture from Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. The scripture says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race." Finish the race. Not start the race, finish the race. "I may finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me." This is a very basic and yet profound instruction to every believer on the planet, is that you aren't just born to suck air for 70, 80, 90 years or whatever it is, but you have a specific life assignment. And Paul says this about himself, and he says it to all of us, that you have a race, a course to go from beginning to end, and this is your life journey and an assignment to complete, a task to complete. Whether you understand it or are embracing it or not, it's nevertheless there. And someday, God will knock on the door and say, "What'd you do with the assignment, the task that I gave you? What was the purpose of your life on earth?" In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 and following, it says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run?" All the runners run. So we're in a race, and if you're in a race, you are, by definition, a runner. So the scripture says all runners are supposed to be running, not watching, not spectators. We're all supposed to be running. In other words, there's to be some continual forward movement until we finish the race. And he says, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way to get the prize. In other words, the prize is the completion of your own specific assignment. You are to run in a way that you can get the prize. In other words, get to the end of the course. It goes on to say, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, that doesn't sound comforting to many people. They wouldn't like the idea of strict anything, let alone training. But it does say that our Christian journey requires us to have some strict training, some guidelines, some rules, some things that enable us to complete the race. And speaking of people who run in an earthly sense, it says they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And so there's a crown that's waiting for you and I. Galatians 5 and verse 7. Well, let's go back to and pick up the last of the part of that reference. It says, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I've got to do something to stay focused so I can continue a progressive movement with Christ in my life journey. All right, Galatians 5 and verse 7. Paul speaks of a group of believers who actually started well, but they came to a point where they stepped out of the race. And he said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? All kinds of things are out there to keep us from running a good race and from completing our life assignment. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I'll see if I can dig that one up. I actually have it in my Bible. Ah, I like it. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have started. No, he didn't say I've started. He said, I have finished the race. When we hold a life celebration service for you, or they hold one for me, since I probably will go before most other people in my congregation, will they say, he finished his course? He finished his race? Did he keep the faith? And, of course, some people might have that question arise in their mind but not utter what they think the answer is, unless, of course, they can say resoundingly, yes. But if I had an epitaph, though it doesn't necessarily make a lot of difference, that's what I would like on my gravestone if I had one. But I'm not planning on that right away. But let's go on. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1 tells us that now's the time of God's favor. You say, but Pastor, I don't get what you're saying. How could it be a time of God's favor if this is Corona? God says he brings his favor to us in the darkest hours of our life. As the Bible says, when Christ came, it says, light shone in the darkness. And so this is the time of God's favor. God wants to bring his favor in unique and special ways in your life, in your inner person, so that you can complete your assignment. And Philippians chapter 2 and verses 14 and following. Says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So Paul said, my life journey is to be poured out as a drink offering. I'm to be poured out so you can succeed. So let me encourage you, while you're in the process of pursuing the completion of your task, do it without complaining. Because complaining is registering more your difficulty than the grace and the blessing that is on your life. And so if I can just put in a capsule or form, the race that the Bible refers to is the course of our life journey that we are given to accomplish our life assignment. It's not merely a contest to survive until we die, but it is to accomplish something, to complete a task. And because it lasts longer than a moment and it encompasses difficult challenges at times, as we're seeing, as many people are seeing, perhaps the most difficult, challenging time of their lives right now, it requires us to access some strength for living in order to finish well. You know, when I was in high school, that was a few weeks back, I took up cross-country running, which was a competitive school sport. And it wasn't short sprints, but it was long-distance runs that you would take off across the country over with a group of others who were in training and eventually in competition. And you would go over various terrains and sometimes in rather inclement weather. And so it was an exciting sport to be involved with, and it was very demanding. And every time we set out, there was always someone to do what they call set the pace. They would set the pace. And so they would take off, and they would run at a certain speed. Everybody would stay near them because they were the pace setter. If you decided that you were going to accelerate and leave the pack, so to speak, and move away from the pace setter, eventually you'd run out of steam and quit. If you decided that you weren't going to keep up to that pace, then eventually you wouldn't have finished in the allotted time. You know, and many people today are like that. They have set out, but the long-distance run of their life journey has either caused them to either quit or not finish. And they both end up being the same. And, you know, lockdown is kind of like running in place. You know, our coach used to say, okay, today we're not going to go out in the field. I want you to just run in place for about 15 minutes. And I didn't like running in place. I would rather to be outside and running here and there, even up hills and down difficult terrain, anything, but don't tell me to run 20 minutes, half an hour in place, because it just seems like you're not getting anywhere. But what I didn't know was that he was training us both mentally and physically. We were learning how to set our breathing rhythm. We were learning not only gaining some physical exercise, but we were also dealing with what was going on in our head. Because when you run a race, as you'll see from this message as we go on, you can see I haven't been doing this very much. It affects the way you think. And that's what lockdown has done for everyone. Everyone gets out of bed, as the Bible says, in the last days, people will run to and fro in the earth. And yet all of a sudden, we have to just kind of stay in place. And it doesn't seem like there's any point, because you're not running to work and running to get home and running here and running there. You're just, seems like you're just staying in the same place. But if you capture what God is wanting to do in you, you can develop. You can develop. I can develop in this time of lockdown. And so it's vital for us to develop what the Bible calls endurance. Endurance. And you see, the engine of modern life is all too often fueled only by emotion. And so when positive and attractive emotions fade, endurance disappears. You lose your want to go on. And you don't have something inside of you that enables you to push past your your tiredness, your fatigue, your opposing feelings, your sense of futility. And sometimes people can be tempted to say to themselves and to others, well, just let me be. I've had enough. Have you ever said that? Let circumstances take me wherever they will. I just want to quit this effort. And yet, the Bible says that's not an option that he's given us. Romans 12 and verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That fire of grace, of passion, of faith inside of you that enables you to push past circumstances that are exhausting and difficult, enables you to get out of bed with fresh grace and to say to yourself, as David said, as he encouraged himself, I will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And, you know, you only develop endurance if you have to endure some opposing circumstances, something that presses against you. I'd like to encourage us all not to waste this, because circumstances have not been easy. And so it is in this time frame that we are meant to develop endurance, some spiritual endurance. We all need help to develop endurance, the ability to last even though the strength of the opposition, the wind that is blowing, the circumstances that are opposing us seem so strong. We need some help to keep on going. So I'd like to say to you, you're going to need God's help to finish your life assignment. It's not just a decision you make one time and then, boom, it's easy street from there on. It's all downhill from there on. Oh, no. You'll face things that are bigger than you are in your humanity, but not bigger than the God who is inside of you, so that you can access his grace, his favor, his help. It won't be a stiff upper lip and a gritted teeth operation. And if we need God's help, then we need God's help in the ways and the places that it comes to us. We need God's help directly in our personal relationship with him. There is a grace, there's an ability, there's a favor, there's an enablement that comes directly in our personal relationship with him. But there's also a grace that you and I are meant to have that can only come as we recognize our need for others. And, you know, many people were living in self-isolation before lockdown occurred. They were just living their solitary Christian life, not really recognizing or believing they really had a need for anybody else. But, you know, there's a great body of truth in the truth of the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 says this: the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. So God's trying to teach us something about the body of Christ, the family of God, is that we actually need each other. And if you are needing someone and you don't have them as something that's supplying something that you require, you're doing without. There is a grace. There is a divine deposit in other people that God intended would enable you to finish your assignment. If you don't access that grace, you are going to struggle in ways you never needed to struggle if you don't discover it. You're not going to be able to say, yeah, it's just Jesus and me. I don't need to attend church fellowship. I don't need to connect with other believers. I got my Bible. I got the internet. That's all I need. That's all. No, it isn't. You need other people. the hand, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. My body parts need each other. I can't say that any part of my body is unnecessary. And so if I get something in my eye, the eye can't say, I don't need the hand. Of course I do. I need my hand to get the thing out of my eye so my eye can function without pain and with clarity. So many people believe instinctively, without necessarily saying it, I don't need other people. Unfortunately, they get away with that for a period of time. Maybe they have some reasonably good health and relationships seem to be okay and money seems to be okay, but they will come to a point, like billions of people across the globe, where there is a test and a challenge of going forward in which they require the help of some others. And you know, more than ever, our world is stepping out to help other people. It's amazing, even in our community, how neighbors who really had maybe just a minimal amount of interaction are now helping each other. They're dropping food off and they're doing all kinds of things in relation to strangers because how they realize something different. Life isn't just about the pursuit of things for me and things especially. So there are two things really that release the grace that we need in order to keep pace, to finish, to keep on going, to keep on moving, to endure. Two things that we need that releases the grace that is to come to us, the divine enablement. One is humility. James 4 and verse 6, you probably remember, says the Bible says God gives his grace to the humble. And you know, if you are a humble person, you recognize the need you have for others. That God made you with a position to serve. And if you're going to do well as a believer, you're going to learn to be a servant, someone who cares about others. Who doesn't say, I got everything I need. I'm independent. I'm self-sufficient. No, I need other people. And 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15 tells us how we're to address the need for others. It says, God saved us that we might no longer live for ourselves. No longer live for ourselves. So my greatest need is to enable your success. Your greatest need is to enable my success and other members of the body of Christ and your family and whoever else God puts in your life journey. And God's given us a resource for that. Often people say to me, well, you know, I might be missing some grace because I'm not making relationships like I should. But the Bible says, Romans 5 and verse 5 says, God has poured his love into your heart. And often people think, well, you know, I don't really have very many close or intimate or what I would consider to be loving relationships. It's because you haven't poured out what God has poured in. That's not a matter of emotion or feeling. That's a matter of obedience and faith. And, you know, it's so important to recognize that if you're going to have grace, God's help to finish your course, that you are humble enough to say, I need other people. I can't afford to stay in self-isolation. And when lockdown is over, I have to make certain I'm reaching out, I'm giving, I'm sowing, I'm blessing, I'm loving, I'm helping. And go beyond where I've been before. So you will need to have humility in order to receive grace. You'll also need to have faith. Romans 5:2 that we've quoted to you many times says we have access into grace, into God's help. We need God's help to finish, to persevere through difficult circumstances, to endure. We need God's help, and that's grace, that's God's help, God's favor. That comes to us by faith. And in this, what I call the seed time, where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to take the seeds of God's word and God's voice and put them in our hearts, God would sow into us a spirit of faith, a spirit of believing, because we access that grace by hearing. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, faith comes by hearing. Today if you hear his voice. So more than ever, right now, we need to hear God's voice. Because when you hear God's voice, then there is the coming of faith. And you know, before you and I came to know Christ, the forces of darkness did everything they could to prevent one thing, that hearing of faith. Because the moment you heard the gospel and it prompted faith inside of you, you left the devil's domain and you came into the kingdom of God. The most profound eternal miracle happened to you when you heard. And so if anything, we need to sharpen our hearing. We need to pursue Christ in the Spirit and the Word that we might find him in these days. You know, there are a million prophets that are online. And they may have their place. But I want to say something to you today as a pastor from the Scriptures. They are no substitute for you hearing God's voice yourself. And so I would challenge you not to just go looking for a fresh word from somewhere else, though I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. What I am saying is that if you're getting words from somewhere else and they don't confirm the word the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, you want to walk very, very carefully. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let everything be established. And so God wants you and I to develop and to cultivate that hearing ear that enables us to access God's voice. And then when the prophetic words come, we say, ah, yes, yes, God spoke to me that. God spoke to me that. And then that strength of confirmation enables you to walk with surety and stability and confidence. So pursue Christ in his word. Pursue him in your Bible meditation, in your prayer time, in your listening to worship. Because those are the things that enable you and I from the inside to access the grace of God directly from him. 1 Timothy 6 verse 11 says, but you, man of God or woman of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love and endurance. Pursue it. Go after it. You got to pursue it. You got to run after it. Go for those things in your life. Well, you say, well, okay, I need humility. I need faith if I'm going to receive grace. I've got to care about other people and I've got to have a relationship with God. Yeah, Pastor, those things are all basic. How do I get the grace to finish the race? To finish my assignment? Well, Hebrews 12 and verse 1 actually puts this in the context of a race. And it says, let us run with perseverance or endurance the race marked out for us. And then he goes on to say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Are you beholding Jesus? You know, in my journey, there have been dark moments. And I can tell you honestly that when I lost my observation of Jesus, my soul was filled with despair. And when I put my eyes back on him and I listened to his voice, the comfort, the strength, the grace, the deliverance, the washing, the shame-lifting help of heaven came to me. Put your eyes on him. Put your eyes on him. Secondly, reach out lovingly to help others. Reach out lovingly. This is a primary means by which grace will come into your life. Not only now, but in the days that lie ahead. Because Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given to you. It doesn't say wait until stuff comes. No, it says give. And this is a simple truth displayed throughout the Bible. But I'd like to encourage you to make a decision to text or message 10 people this week. Start today. Who in your life would be freshly shocked, blessed, amazed to think that you were thinking about them, praying for them, and just wanted to be an encouragement to them? Who? I'd like you to take that assignment to heart. And let there come a outflow of grace and love and care and compassion and concern. Whatever God tells you to do for your neighbor or someone else, do it. Don't pull back from it. Say yes. I'd like to encourage you to give something to someone today. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, you know, there's a well that will be released in my life as I pour out to others. You know, I'd like to share a story with you. It was the defining image of the 27 London Marathon, where a man named Matthew Rees stopped 300 meters short of the finish line to help David Wyeth, a stranger on verge of collapse. He helped him to complete the race. He says, I was just about to sprint to the finish when I saw David. His legs were completely jelly-like, and he collapsed in front of me. So I decided to forget my race. He had come so far, and after 26 miles of running, I wanted him to make the finish. This isn't even a Christian story. Someone saying, I wanted him to make the finish. Is there anybody in your life you want them to make the finish? So Rees, who was running his third marathon, was having a tough race himself. He says, earlier on, some calf issues that I had been experiencing flared up and I was in a lot of pain. I nearly dropped out, but I decided I wanted to get to the finish line. I wanted to get to the finish line. But when I saw David, he was clearly having the same thought. He says, it felt like fate that we were meant to cross together. Somebody asked him, what did he say to him? He said, I was trying to motivate him and keep him coherent. He was so far gone. I just kept on saying to him, you will finish. I won't leave your side. We'll get to that finish line. And you know, the video of these two men crossing the finish line went viral. Somebody said, what matters is that I enable someone else to finish their race. And when I enable others to finish their race, let me tell you, there's some Matthews that are going to help me finish mine. There's a Matthew out there to help you finish your race if you'll adopt that mentality. You know, many years ago when I started in the ministry, I did some training in a Bible college. I was a young man, just started, only probably 2 or 3 weeks in the Bible college. And another young man who was there before me. I'd seen him around. I kind of admired him. I didn't really know him at all. But he came one day and he said, Rick, he said, I want to give you something. And I was kind of shocked. Why would this guy who was a relative stranger want to give me something? I said, oh, okay. And he reached in a bag and he took out a brand new leather-bound Bible. And he gave it to me. And he said, here, this is yours. And I was just kind of shocked and amazed that he would give me something that was so beautiful and so valuable. And I thanked him. I didn't know what else to say. I thanked him and he left. A few hours later, he got into his vehicle and drove to a deserted place, stuck a wire around his neck and jumped out of a tree and hung himself. It wasn't until a couple days later that it came into the Bible college what had happened. And I want to say to you, that story touched my life. Like anyone else, all kinds of questions arise. Could I have done differently? Where was he in his journey? But the profound conclusion that we come to is there is someone who didn't finish the race. He probably, when he started at the Bible college, had great fervor and desire and hunger and drive and passion. But something was going on in here. Where were his friends? Did he have any? Had he sowed grace, kindness, encouragement to others? Those are questions I don't know. But I do know this. He didn't finish his race. God wants you and I to finish. He wants us to access every means he has made available so that we have the ability to endure whatever set of circumstances, whether it's lockdown or the next challenge that comes on the global scene. He wants you and I to be able to endure. And so that's why we look around and we say, oh no, I'm not in this journey alone. I've got brothers and sisters. I've got a family here and there and everywhere. I want to be someone who is pouring grace and encouragement and blessing and kindness into them. I want to be seeking and hearing from the Lord, a person of faith, so that when I finish, I can be, as the Bible says of Stephen, he was a man full of grace. Full of grace. I'd like to pray right now as we close today. But I want to give you a family assignment before I pray. I'd like you to take some time today and read and discuss with your family or on your own Psalm 33. And you can ask the children, if there are any children around, to participate at their level. But focus on how does Psalm 33 relate to this season in our lives. And spend some time in prayer and worship. And I've given you a couple of songs that are related to the message today. One of them is an old hymn that you can find on the internet called I Need Thee Every Hour. Some of you who have gray hair or no hair might remember that one. Then a couple other choruses that are also in line with the message today. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. As you sing it, you can sing it to the Lord and then sing it to anyone else in your house or your neighbors or with eyes of faith to the congregation. The greatest thing is knowing, loving, and serving. And lastly, another great chorus, I need you more than yesterday. Those are all available to you online. But I want to pray for you now, right now, in your journey, where you are. Close your eyes right now. As the Holy Spirit comes into your front room or your bedroom or your car or your workplace, wherever you are listening today, this is a divine appointment. For in these moments, as I speak, as the Holy Spirit speaks through me, God wants to impart some fresh grace, some encouragement to you. Father, we come to you now in the precious and the powerful name of Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much that you will help us to finish our assignment, even though at times it seems so difficult. Even times when we don't seem to have a lot of strength or wisdom, there's so many questions we can't answer, that if we allow them to swirl around in our inner man, they exhaust us, they discourage us. But thank you today, Lord, that we have this facility, of receiving your help. And so, Lord, today, I release fresh grace. As your word says, he gives more grace. Thank you, Lord, right now as I speak, there's a new confidence, a new strength coming to your people across the globe as they hear the word of God right now in these days. Someone is watching me today. I don't know how you're going to hear this, but you have been struggling with the virus. And there are people around you who do not believe that you are going to survive. But God speaks to your heart right now. This is not your appointment with death. This is your appointment with victory. Take this message now. Rejoice in your heart. God has spoken to you today. Father, we thank you that as we hear and as we obey, your supernatural power, one of the many manifestations of your favor, comes to bear in our lives. Thank you for increase. Thank you for wisdom. And thank you for peace in these days. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name. Amen. God bless you.